My name is Kirsty Rayner, and I am obsessed with all things mindset, meditation, business, and helping you to overcome those mindset blocks and magical breakthroughs in every season of life. I'm a multiple business owner, accredited transformational and mindset coach, Vedic meditation teacher, a yogi with 10 years marketing experience on paper, but informally, I'm obsessed with growth, a pale rosé wine lover, chocoholic, and your new bestie. We get into all the secrets and hacks to get you in an abundant mindset. So go and grab a coffee, get cozy, get comfortable. This is the Mindset and Me podcast. On this week's episode, I have an incredible guest for you, my dear friend, Jules Von Hepp. I'm sure most of you will know him. He is an inspiration to me as a friend, as a human being, but also what he does for women and empowerment and body confidence. I really, really want you to hone in on this episode and listen to the mindset tips that he comes up with and techniques that he has used to get past blocks that he's experienced throughout his life. He was in a state of really hating his body and almost berating himself daily in the mirror. Can you even imagine how that feels when people do that? It's so, so sad. And so in this episode, he's going to share how he went from there to fulfilling his destiny where he is today. And he is the empowering man, the human sunshine that we get to see every single day. So welcome to the podcast, my darling friend, Jules Von Hepp. How are you?
Oh my God, greetings, babes. I'm so great. I'm so great. I'm wearing a chunky knit that's giving me ample body warmth. I've got a nice hot cup of coffee. It's a lovely Wednesday morning at the time of recording. Today is going to be a good day.
I love that. What an amazing feeling to have first thing in the morning as well. Let's just record that in our minds. We want to have that feeling that Jules has got today.
What is she grateful for? Always. Right. You know me, Kirsty. I'm a huge fan of gratitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So to begin, I would love for anyone who doesn't know you, and by the way, if you don't know Jules, you're going to want to know Jules by the end of this podcast, to tell us a little bit about your story and how you've got to where you're at today.
So, I mean, in a nutshell, I have been a spray tanner for 15 years. I know what you're thinking, a spray tanner? What? I didn't sign up to listen to this. But I actually started out as not just any old spray tanner. Was a celebrity spray tanner for very many years. And during that time, I worked with hundreds and thousands of naked bodies every single week, whilst also battling my own journey with body dysmorphia and eating disorders and self-hatred. So while I was making other people feel more confident, I was actually working out how to feel more confident in myself. You might be familiar with the self-tan brand, the Isle of Paradise, sold all over the world. This is my baby, my creation. But it's a brand that really changed the beauty industry into being more body inclusive. And that's something that I really fly the flag for, body inclusivity, self-love, inner confidence, and finding that glow of top to toe, inside and out. That's me in a nutshell, babe. So if you ever need to, if you ever need that hit of feel good, that feeling of optimism, gratitude, I can do this, then I am your man.
And you skim so lightly over that, but you changed that industry. Let's just take a moment to celebrate that. You changed how everything was portrayed in the self-tanning world.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean,
for so long, the tanning industry was about one body shape, one skin tone, one type of image. And I was working with all these naked bodies every single week. And I was like, this isn't what tanning is to me. Tanning is about empowerment. It's about feeling good naked. And it's about the moment, these moments with yourself. It's not about tanning for somebody else. It's about how you feel in your own body, in your own skin. So, you know, I know I mentioned that on my journey with body confidence, it was something that actually really saved me. But yeah, I have a very well-rounded view on perception of self, of inner belief, of confidence. And I think that's why I love doing what I love doing so much.
I love that, talking about inner confidence and self-belief, because obviously you talked about you've been on your journey. So it would be really good for our listeners to understand any sort of mindset blocks that you had towards finding your own inner confidence and self-belief as well.
So I think it's the easiest way to set this up would be to explain that, you know, through my teenage years and through most of my 20s, I just completely hated how I looked. And what that did was it massively held me back on my day-to-day, and I didn't even realise how much it held me back. I think there were times where I was not going to parties because I felt self-conscious about how I looked, not going on dates because I didn't believe in my self-worth, because I thought, this person isn't going to fancy me. And being quite introvert with my appearance, I think on the surface, there was obviously extrovert behaviour, chucking the Malibu back, having a good time on the dance floor. But I think behind the curtains and at home on my own, I was just completely tearing myself apart about my appearance. And I really, really believed that at that time, that my whole worth as a human being was defined completely on how I look. Mm. And it was only when, through spray tanning, that, you know, I'd leave a client and I actually wouldn't remember how they looked. I'd remember how amazing they made me feel. And I think, actually, that is what defines you. That is what people remember. Mm. And then that made me start looking at myself and my own thought process. So I think in terms of, you know, that mindfulness practice, it's about just taking a sidestep out of your day-to-day and thinking, how am I actually speaking to myself? How is this relationship with myself affecting what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis? Because, you know, you can be having phone calls, you can be having meetings, you can be out with friends and appear, it's all good on the surface. You're like that swan. But in the moments in the bathroom, the moments in the mirror, the moments when you're chatting to yourself, are you being nice to yourself or are you being a little bitch to yourself? Because actually, the person, and something that I actually really have discovered this week, is the person that you talk to the most through your whole life is yourself. Mm-hmm. So step it up and be kind to yourself, be nice to yourself, be good to yourself, because at the end of the day, who's going to benefit from it, babe? You.
I love that so much. And you're so candid and generous when you talk about it. But I know, I mean, we know each other on a very personal level, my dear friend.
Almost too personal.
Anyway, that's for another podcast. Yeah. But, you know, to get to where you are today, that was a long, long journey for you, right? And like, getting to that stage, it's not kind of like linear, is it? There's lots of like setbacks and fallbacks that you encountered, and just being human and kind of having that, oh my God, you question yourself again. And is this the right thing? And it would be really good to understand sort of what you did when those thoughts came up on this journey.
I think, you know, turning the ship, and it is such a massive ship, to get to the point where you actually like who you are, is not something to be scoffed at or overlooked. You know, I think people have this perception of, oh God, you just got to wear white linen and light some joss sticks and all of a sudden you'll find that inner peace. Well, that is not the case. It's not the case. God knows I tried. I've got a bloody wardrobe full of linen that didn't do anything for that. But it's about repetition, and it's about slow, small changes that actually make a huge effect 5 years down the line. What you do on the day-to-day basis, sure, might be affecting present self, but it's really going to affect future self. Mm-hmm. So the things for me were like, I stopped bitching about my body to myself. I stopped saying, I hate my love handles. I stopped physically pulling my body when I looked in front of the mirror, because that wasn't nice. And actually, I thought, you know what? Let's just flip this negative and let's put it in a positive. And like, let's focus on the things that I like about myself. Like, I like my eyes, I like my skin, I like my smile. And they're positives. And it's okay to say that. You don't have to whack it on a t-shirt or a coaster and go to market with it. Like, these are messages that you're saying to yourself. But also, I really took a moment to think about who I have around me on a day-to-day basis and what I'm physically doing with my time. There's something that I refer to as collective negative manifesting, and I think you see this a lot in offices and within groups, especially within the bridal culture, of how much weight am I losing? How much do I hate my body? Am I getting Botox? Am I getting a nose job? Am I getting surgery? And that is literally telling the universe, if you believe in the universe, that you hate the way that you look, and that actually you're just going to keep bitching and moaning about your body round and round and round in circles. What is that achieving? It's not achieving anything. And so I actually sidestepped from those conversations. I stopped being friends with people who actually weren't making me feel good. They were. I wasn't leaving those friendships feeling empowered. I was leaving them feeling worse about how I looked. And I was like, I actually respect myself on a higher level, and I actually am going to take the time to make sure that I'm hanging out with people that make me feel good, that make me feel mentally, you know, sound, and I want to have fun with, but also I can be vulnerable with. But it's not a constant exchange of negativity, because that doesn't help anybody.
And I think that's so fascinating as well, to also be able to do that, because I know one of my clients is in sort of a similar situation, but doesn't really have the confidence to be able to walk away from friendships and, you know, really have that, you know, you know exactly what you want, and you know it's going to benefit you, our higher self, you know, always working towards that. So what would you say to anyone who's kind of in that situation now, who wants to be able to do that but just feels a bit stuck?
I think that, you know, you don't have to imagine that you're literally Anne Boleyning someone. You're not beheading them. It's like, you don't have to do that, but you can just take a sidestep. It's okay to say no. I think within society, and especially in the space of mindfulness and awareness, obliging is a very strong personality trait. And actually, you know, it's okay to make new friends, because we do change as we get older. We do, we ourselves are evolving, other people are evolving, and it's okay to not have friendships for life. It's okay to have friendships for that set of time. But also, not every friendship has to be in person. I really nurture, one of my best friends lives in Australia, and we make the effort to speak to each other because we make each other feel good. Mm-hmm. And that's important. So, you know, You can also bring new friendships through podcasts and through fellow listeners and the Facebook groups that podcasts have. And you can connect with people digitally. You can meet on Zoom. You can have conversations that are totally removed from your day to day. And, you know, if you have a friend that you've known forever, or you know, it might be a fellow mum at the school gates, all of that, they don't have to be that person that you have these deep, insightful chats with. And you can bring that, each friend can have a purpose. So, but just remember, don't make that change. You don't have to make that change overnight. But do you know what? I'm deleting Sandra. I've had enough of her. And you can just start it nice and easy and just slowly build those friendships organically.
I love what you said. I feel like you're redefining what the friendship is, in a sense, because we always think it has to be that in-person contact. And actually, if this bloody pandemic's taught us anything, a lot of us have met online, haven't we? A lot of us have become great friends. I've made friends with great people that I don't know how tall they are. I don't know what, I've only ever seen them from the chest up.
100p. So I met a fellow beauty founder, Indy V. She lives in America. She lives in New York. We've never met in person. Yeah. We connected on Instagram. We now FaceTime each other once a month and just have the most deep, insightful conversation. With that, we cry. I share stuff with her that I don't share with anyone else. I think about it, I'm like, I don't even know what fragrance she wears. I don't even know what she orders at brunch. But it's just another human being that you connect with on a different level.
I love that. I love that so much. And I think that's so useful to people who are feeling kind of stuck. Like, let's try to break away from that traditional friendship and what that looks like. Because this has made us all change, hasn't it? And it, for the good or for the bad, you know, we're looking at everything differently, which is great.
100%.
So I would love to know as well, I'm always trying to give everyone listening like real takeaway, like bites. And you are, I would say, a leading expert in mindset and the way you have created a brand around changing women's mindsets to accept their body, to love their bodies, to love every part of them. You know, if you're not privy to the Isle of Paradise, even their campaigns are so inclusive, so incredible. You know, I just love everything that you've created through that. So for any specific specific like techniques that you use? Obviously, we've talked about like gratitude and moving away from like negative manifestation. Is there anything else that you've thought either in the creation of your brand or running your brand or your personal life that has really given you amazing results?
I think that optimism is a trait that should not be overlooked in life. I think that it actually has a huge knock-on effect to so much about how we live our day-to-day, and if you have a bad day, how you overcome that. And if you think back to those physics lessons in school, and I'm really sorry to take you back there, there was that lesson about positrons and neutrons or whatever it is, but the basis is every negative has a positive and every positive has a negative. And actually, it's just about which side of the coin you're looking at. And okay, sure, you missed the bus, but actually, did that give you more time to do X, Y, and Z? And okay, that campaign might not have worked the way that you wanted to. Maybe you didn't sell as much as you thought you were going to sell, but actually, what's that taught you? And I think there's elements, and I learned this from, you know, my journey with fitness and exercise, is that in the fitness industry, failure is not a bad thing. Failure means that you've worked your absolute hardest, your body's exhausted, and then what that does is the next day you come back fitter. So why are we not applying that to mental being? Because if you fail, it's not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. Failure is a really positive thing. We're just conditioned to believe that, oh God, you didn't ring the egg. You know, you didn't win the egg and spoon race. That's the end of it. Actually, it teaches you so much. It makes you come back stronger. It makes you more resilient. And things that happen negatively within our lives, I'm not going to say they happen for a reason, because some things are just awful, but they really shape us as human beings. And I think it's really important to remember that we are all on our journey. Every single person is on their journey. Every single person is going through something of some sort, and we don't know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. So I think realizing that this is part of my journey, sure, it's hard, and there's things that make me want to cry, and there's things that really make me anxious, and, you know, I don't know if I can do X, Y, Z, but each day is a new day. The sun rises, the sun sets, and it's up to you how you view that day and what you do with it. I think that, you know, our society is so programmed to put so much comparison and pressure with us to achieve and to deliver. And actually, you know, the main basis is about being happy and about feeling fulfilled. And you do you. And I saw a meme the other day that was like, you do you is the millennial term for F you. And I was like, actually, I disagree. You do you is the whole, do whatever you've got to do to make you feel happy, hun. As long as you're not hurting anyone, then that's great. So yeah, I think those are my key things that I really check in on. And I don't beat myself up like I used to. I think life's too short to be mean to yourself. Life's too short to bully yourself. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it.
I really love what you said there about that meme as well, you do you, because, you know, one thing that you've not touched on too much here as well, but you talk about on social media, is moving away from like toxic positivity as well, and kind of not feeling that there has to be this constant pressure to be in this really, really abundant positive mindset all the time. Like you said, that it's the balance, it's the positive and the negative, the good and the bad days. And actually, Jules, there's so much power in that statement.
And that you can't have, not every day is going to be the best day. Not every day is going to be a high day, because you wouldn't have the best days if you didn't have the worst days, because then you wouldn't appreciate the best days. And so, you know, I think that there is a lot of, I think it's really important that we take note of that, that we take note of, actually, do you know what I'm going to do today? Nothing. I'm going to do nothing. And that is okay. It's okay. Yeah. Like, and that's why, you know, people experience burnout, me included, is because you keep racing for this next thing. And actually, the mind and the body need to take a break. They need to take a break. They need to move offline. I'm a huge fan of a digital detox. It really massively shapes me.
I know. You just disappear sometimes.
I just disappear. I just go aloof, because I think, you know what? It's my choice to show up today. It's my choice to do that. And actually, I love slipping off radar. I love just whoop, behind the velvet curtain, she has gone. But that's, it's important for me. It's important for me. I can't show up and be that flame for people if I'm not looking after myself.
I love that. And also, you know, you said that you experienced burnout. So is there a way that you recognize that you're just before that point, or do you get to that point and need to detox? I'd just be really interested to know sort of what comes up for you.
I think I do know that I'm getting to that point in my subconscious, but I reject it because that is just how I am as a person. For me, I can feel that I'm getting to burnout because I'm very emotional. I'm very sensitive. I feel like I can't get one project across the line. There's too much going on. Also, I really notice that I get headaches massively from social media. And I noticed that if I check my phone, the amount I'm checking social media through the day does have a big effect on my mental well-being. And so I have to, that's why it gets to the point where I'm going, I'm taking 4 days off, kids, I see ya, because I need that moment. I wish I could be the kind of person that's like, oh yeah, my third eye's opening. I know that this is it. I'm due a burnout. It's not like that for me. I usually knees buckle and I'm like, oh, but I know all the things that I've got to do to get myself back. And it's, you know, spending loads of time with my other half, walking in nature, not having to share every single little thing that I'm doing, and not everything is content, not everything is work. And actually looking after yourself and self-love is just as important as the rest. I think, you know, having entertaining, meeting friends, doing all of that is great, but also being on your own and being in a very slow, wholesome pattern is a very good thing as well. I think if there's one thing that this pandemic's done for me, it's made me realise that actually I don't know if I really like the fast lane as much as I thought I did. And actually I quite like the groove that I'm in right now. I'm down with it.
I love that phrasing of it as well. I do think, you know, you are Virgo and Pisces, aren't you? So as am I. Yeah. We're the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, it's how are we friends? How are we not friends?
Precisely. So I would love to be able to give the listeners anything that you have within your day, not necessarily a daily routine, but like something you do every single day without fail that keeps you on track.
I think there's lots of little things. There's things like not bitching about myself in the mirror. That's like, that is a constant thing for me. And that does keep me on track. And just speaking nicely to myself, and I want to be like, oh yeah, I've always done that, and I haven't, and I have that, I had it today, I have it every day, I have the battle within my with the mirror, and it's about just retraining that conversation. I go for a walk most days, I'm out, yeah. I exercise almost every day. I do not have a six pack, I do not have that like physique, I'm not bothered by that, I do it for my mental health. For me, it's like, for me, exercise, it can be 20 minutes and it's like the fog in my brain clears. And that's what it's all about. Other practices that I do are, I try and speak to my friends as much as I can. And my friends that aren't connected with what I do for a living, it's friends that I'm like, tell me literally, what have you done today? Like, where are you going? What are you eating? Tell me everything. And I think that's really important to not always talk about work. It's nice to talk about personal life. I do sometimes do things like write really nice affirmations to myself, and say things like, my body, my vessel, my journey. And I write that down and I put it on the mirror if I'm having a bad day. I don't always share that. Not everything's to be shared, but that's definitely a practice that I do.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that with us then. And before we end, I just wanted to know if there is one mindset hack that you would give to somebody, someone who started out on their mindset journey. Obviously, there's so much in here, but like one key thing to take away today.
I think I'm going to repeat the every negative has a positive, because, you know, that's such a saying that's really useful to check back in on, of when you're having those days where you're like, oh my God, universe, do you want to throw anything else at me? To just go back to those days and be like, what did I learn from that? You know, walking through those hot coals, what did they teach me? And that, it builds strength. So the hard days build strength. Every negative has its positive. It's up to you which you focus on.
That's just such a beautiful place to end. I can't thank you enough for sharing all of this with us. There is so much insight in here. And the thing is, Jules, I could have talked to you for hours. I had to be very conscious to not just let us rabbit on. I said before, I'm like, I'm going to keep it really succinct, really short.
I will just say for the listener that at one point during that recording, I did get so relaxed that I actually looked at myself on the screen and I was almost horizontal. I almost like slipped down my office chair. I was like, oh my God, what are you doing? I was like, I forgot this is on video. I was like, poor Kirsty's having to watch me just go into this total like nuanced state.
I loved it. That shows you're so comfortable. And thank you, honestly, for sharing so much. If you're not following Jules, I'm going to put all of his details in the show notes. He is human sunshine. He is fabulous, my dear friend, but also you're doing so much for so many people in the world. So thank you so much for that. And now I'm going to guide you all through a lovely 5-minute meditation. So before we start the meditation, I want you to get really comfortable, really cozy. Maybe just putting the lamp on or turning out the light, closing the curtains. If you're out somewhere, you know, getting really comfortable wherever you can, whether that's on the train, whatever that might be for you. And just taking a moment to focus on the breath. Breathing all the way in to the throat, the chest, the belly. And breathing all the way back out. I want us to really focus on that deep inhalation. How does that feel all the way into the belly? When you inhale, you know, I really want you to let go of the belly. If you feel stressed or anxious or worried, more often than not, you can hold your belly tight. You can feel that there subconsciously. You might not even notice that you're doing it. So with every inhale, I want you to breathe really deeply into the belly. And as you exhale, release anything you're holding on to. Relaxing your body. Feel the shoulders relax. Forehead relaxes. Release any tension you're holding on to in the eyebrows. Relaxing your jaw. Maybe you begin to notice the arms and the legs feel heavy. And just taking a moment here to recognize that the beautiful alignment that you have now with your body and your breath. How amazing does that feel right now in this moment? Giving yourself this time. I want you to try to focus the mind on just one thing right now. One thought or one feeling, maybe a word that comes to mind, why you are in this meditation right now. What does this mean for you right now? How do you feel in this moment? And with every inhale, I want you to absorb this word or this mantra. And as you exhale, you release. As you exhale, you release. Breathing in and breathing out. Bringing one hand all the way onto the belly, one hand onto the chest. I want you to now focus on that feeling, the mind, the body, and the breath in alignment. Nice deep inhale. Slow exhale. deep breath, inhale. Slow exhale. And then bring in both of your hands onto your heart center. Just take a moment here just to thank yourself for this mini meditation today, this little practice that you've given yourself. Before gently blinking open the eyes and just taking a moment to notice how you feel. Meditation is there for you every single day. It is one of my go-tos, especially when I'm working on mindset. I want to set up my day. There is not a day that I do not meditate, but knowing that it is a lifelong practice. So with meditation, we have no expectation. Every single day feels different. I really, really hope you enjoyed this episode with Jules and I today. It would mean the world to me if you subscribed, left a review. As always, use this as your free resource to come back to. Save this episode whenever you feel a slight doubt in yourself. You feel a mindset block coming up, you can come back to this. This episode is here for you. I will leave all of the contact details for Jules, where you can find him, where you can find me, in the show notes. And thank you for joining me on this episode of the Mindset and Me podcast.